This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us on The Morning Run. You're here with Lin, Chuang and Sharitz. Now, the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission has released their guidelines on mergers and acquisitions for telcos. And this is just 2 weeks after Axiata and Norwegian telco Telenor announced plans for a mega merger. Now, they've also released their guidelines on authorization of conduct. And these all aim to increase transparency and provide clarity to the industry on MCMC's approach to assessing mergers and acquisitions. Because I don't think really they've had an M&A on this kind of scale before.
Well, this comes really on the wake of hot on the heels of the Axiata Telenor merger in terms of the regional businesses. And I want to point out that regulatory issues remain one of the hurdles. A quick note from Nomura a few weeks ago when the first announcement of just first came out. It points out that locally, a merger of the two businesses of Celcom and Digi in Malaysia would have a 50 to 60% market share. So that raises antitrust issues. But I think Axiata responded by saying that the converged nature of mobile and fixed services would mean roughly 35% market share. So they're trying to mitigate it that way. But be that as it may, MCMC has taken quite a proactive step to come in and say, hey, look, we believe in the commercial nature of the business. We believe that you wanted to create shareholder value, but they also believe in an open and fair market.
Yeah, on that note, I think mergers and acquisition, they can help companies to reach greater efficiency, but they can also help reduce competition and result in market dominance. And this is according to MCMC. So it's imperative to strike a balance between letting companies pursue their corporate strategies while also maintaining competitive dynamics in the market. The deal won't get the green light without a thorough review from the regulators. So some of the details that we're looking at is new merged global entity will have a pro forma revenue of about of over 50 billion ringgit. And you know, the Celcom DG merger will have a pro forma revenue of about 14 billion ringgit.
Yeah, so there have been a couple of concerns raised by the proposed merger because it involves plans to merge Celcom and Digi.com, which would make it the country's largest mobile operator with 21 million subscribers. And it has raised worries about a Celcom-Digi merged entity monopoly, you know, despite the fact that they've come out to try and mitigate worries in that regard. Others have also voiced concerns about the risks of a foreign majority-owned entity control having control of the local market because, of course, Telenor is a Norwegian telco.
That's right. So in assessing M&As, actually, the MCMC said they'll consider the following factors. The degree of concentration of the market with and without the merger taking place, the extent of barriers to entry into the market, against, of course, Minister Gobind's call for heightened competition, the level of dynamic competition in the market, the effect of the M&A on the firm's ability to raise prices, the degree of countervailing buyer power, and the existence and degree of any of efficiencies brought about by the M&A. So a lot of factors, and I think the MCMC said they would do a thorough review of the merger before agreeing or disagreeing.
So speaking about review, and also earlier, Lin, you mentioned about a merger and acquisition of this size. MCMC does have some form of approach on assessment to dominance, where you know its position right now is that the dominant position means the ability to act independently without facing any competitive constraint. So the competition is one aspect that they'll look into. And assessment dominance involves two-step process. First, MCMC must define the relevant communications market, and second, MCMC will have to assess whether a licensee is dominant in the defined market. They do have guidelines. I think we've shared this before with regards to M&As. When they assess an M&A, we'll consider factors like degree of concentration in the market, barriers of entry, dynamic of the competition, firm's ability to raise prices, as well as existence and degree of any efficiencies.
Quite a lot of work ahead for MCMC to see whether or not this merger goes through. And speaking of things that raise regulatory concerns, the other thing that's been setting off alarm bells amongst the government is that the European Commission has introduced a certification system which restricts the types of biofuels from palm oil that would count as renewable energy. Now, these new rules are effective on the 10th of June, and they were adopted earlier in March, but were subject to a two-month scrutiny period. Those 2 months are now up with no objections from European Parliament or member states. So it looks like it's going to come into effect.
It's a bit of a triple whammy effect because CPO prices are so beleaguered, and it's actually below the cost of most producers, except for the smallholders. That's everybody is basically bleeding money. So, I mean, this latest salvo, the EU has said that there will be some exemptions to smallholders to placate producer concerns. The limit for small farms is 2 hectares, which is, I think, about 20 acres, roughly, give or take. And earlier in March, Mahendra Sriraga, the executive director of the Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, said these exceptions do not solve the discrimination. It fails to recognise the considerable efforts made to secure sustainable palm oil from plantations. And, of course, Malaysia, Indonesia and Colombia among the members of this council.
Yeah, so EU accounted for about 12% of Malaysia's palm oil export in 2018, making it the biggest buyer after India. And we exported almost 1.9 million tonnes of palm oil to EU countries. Roughly one-third of the palm oil imported into the EU goes into biodiesel production, with the rest going predominantly to the food and chemical industry. On another news, I think earlier this month, Theresa Koch, our primary industry minister, led a palm oil economic and promotion mission. This mission was part of Malaysia's ongoing effort to promote palm oil and palm-based product to key markets, as well as to engage them on any anti-palm oil sentiment in the region.
Yeah, because I think there's been a lot of discussion. I mean, there is a perception that this is a blanket palm oil ban, and it's not. It is specifically to do with biofuels. But as you said, Sharitz, you know, biofuels do make up about a third of the proportion of palm oil that goes into the EU. Also, by the way, Chuang, 2 hectares, I believe, is 5 acres rather than the...
Sorry, the multiple is not at my fingertips. Acres are smaller than hectares.
Okay. On another note, I think recently there's been an announcement by Felda with regards to... Felda was going to be heavily affected by this with regards to the upcoming Raya, which is 2 weeks. The Minister of Economics Affairs, Azmin Ali, has said that perhaps they couldn't... But, you know, they may not intend to give Duit Raya to the Felda settlers as a result of focusing their priorities, which is to look into Felda long-term sustainability.
And all right, we are coming up on the 7:30 news. After that, we'll be talking about the Indonesian elections. So be sure to keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.